It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Tomorrow marks 3 years since supporters of then-President Donald Trump attacked the U.S. Capitol building with the aim of keeping Trump in power and subverting the will of more than 81 million voters nationwide. Much has changed since the last anniversary of the attack. Hundreds more people have been charged with federal crimes, and in August, former President Trump himself was indicted on felony charges for his role in the election plot. And yet, Trump remains the far and away frontrunner in the race for the GOP's presidential nomination. And in a Washington Post poll released this week, 72% of Republicans and 80% of Trump voters said too much is being made of the events of January 6th. With us now to talk about where we stand 3 years later is Linda Kenyon, who covers D.C. and our home state congressional delegation for Illinois Public Media. Linda, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the 21st Show.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Brian, and it is good to be back and start all brand new again.
All brand new. Same show, though, in some ways. So Let's talk about January 6, 2021. Where were you that day? What do you remember about what happened that day?
Well, I was in Washington that day, and I was supposed to be on Capitol Hill, and for some reason I got reassigned. And then Bedlam broke out on Capitol Hill, and by that time it was too late to send me up there, because it was just downright dangerous. But I do remember shock and horror seeing the hordes of crowds heading to the Capitol, and then watching on the monitors about what was happening with people breaking into the building, the pushing and shoving, the erecting of the gallows in front of the Capitol building, and the people chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," seeing people carrying Confederate flags through the hallways on Capitol Hill, stealing congressional laptops, putting their feet up on the podium in the U.S. Senate, members of Congress cowering in their seats in the House while people were trying to break in through the glass door. It was a very surreal situation. And for somebody who, you know, basically has a second home up on Capitol Hill, I've spent a lot of years of my life up there. It also felt like I was being personally violated because this is not just a place of work. It is a museum. It's a living, working museum where people get tours and people learn about the history in the building, and you're surrounded by history. And to see it desecrated in that fashion really brought a lot of us to tears.
I want to move forward one day to January 7th, 2021. There was a consensus, it seemed, even among Republicans, about who was at least morally responsible for what had happened, if not perhaps legally liable for it.
Yeah, and that person was President Donald J. Trump. And all of us could see that there was going to be a problem when he was at the rally down at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue and said that people should march to the Capitol and that he was going to go with them. Of course, he didn't go with them for various security reasons. And there's a whole backstory on that. But we all kind of went, oh, this is not good. And sure enough, it wasn't good. By the way, as a sidebar, I will tell you that there were numerous reports that people coming to the rally before the march up to the Capitol building, many of them were armed. Now, carrying arms in D.C. is against the law. And Donald Trump did not want metal detectors that would be brought into the rally area. He thought that was not very good optics. So there was a lot of back and forth about that. And so what happened was people who were bragging about being armed were a little bit further outside the perimeter rather than in the, if you will, secure zone. But a lot of these same people are the ones who marched up to the Capitol building. So we knew that this was not going to be a peaceful event. And we knew that in all likelihood, there were people among them who were armed. Whether it be legal or not, that is an extremely volatile situation when you act in a way that was in there was so much emotion on that day, so much anger, and so much mob think, I suppose I could call it, that the mob psychology, that it really deteriorated very quickly and got out of hand very quickly.
And people like former House Speaker, then Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, people like Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell, all of them pointed the finger of responsibility at former President Trump. But that didn't last long. It certainly didn't last through the impeachment votes that came. And now we've seen the Republican Party's attitude about this continue to evolve, even as the former president has been charged with crimes related to this. What do you make of those polling numbers from earlier? How do you see that affecting the members of Congress that you cover week in and week out?
Well, I think it shows that the partisanship in Washington, which quite frankly is a reflection of the country, I think that it's gotten to such a toxic atmosphere that the goal is to win no matter what, and that the issues of morality and safety and democracy, those seem to be taking a second seat, maybe even a back row seat, because it is clear that Donald Trump, despite all of the legal challenges that he has right now and the layers upon layers of legal challenges and lawyers that he has, all of the criminal cases that he has, which has never been seen before against a president of the United States or a former president of the United States. None of that seems to matter except winning. And for Republicans, with Donald Trump still being the clear front runner, they have made it their mission to align themselves with the person who appears to be the winner. And whether he will be the winner in the general election, well, we'll have to see. But by all indications right now, even though some of the candidates are having stronger showings than one might have expected, they're still not strong enough, according to the polls, to beat Donald Trump. And so one must align oneself with the winner in order to have the power in Washington. And I think that's what we're seeing.
And how do you see that affecting policy as we continue into 2024? I mean, Congress still has a lot of work to do this year. A lot of our attention, you know, media attention is turning to the presidential election, but there are still big policy questions out there.
There are a lot of big policy questions, and I think that since the Republicans are the majority in the House, they are turning their gaze toward Donald Trump because they look to him for direction. And that is most likely going to persist. And as a result, the Senate is not as sharply divided, and the Senate is led by Democrats. So if policy in the House, including spending priorities, which are supposed to originate in the House, if those are set according to an agenda by a perceived front runner who might be president of the United States again, then it's going to be a situation where things will pass in the House and they will not pass in the Senate. So nothing will get done. And we've been seeing a lot of that happening so far anyway. We saw that happening in 2023, and that is why we have been unable to see funding for the federal government. We have two continuing resolutions, which are temporary stopgap funding bills that are expiring soon because they could not reach an agreement on spending priorities, and of course because President Biden also wanted some funding for the war in Ukraine, and that somehow got tied into funding for border security. That has been a political third rail for many administrations and for decades in America. So that policy will, that if we just look at that alone, we'll see how things are stalled right now, and that the Republicans do seem to be taking their marching orders from President Trump. And of course, the southern border was a big issue for him when he was the president, and will continue to be a big issue, whether he becomes president again or not.
Well, even if Congress continues to get nothing done, I know we can count on you to help us make sense and something of it. Linda Kenyon, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Brian.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.